Today on Real Life Radio.
But the amazing thing is this. God's love for you announces that Christ has come to set us free. If we receive God's good news, the message, he loves us. My friend, Jesus came to take us to heaven. He wants you there more than you want to go. And he paid the price for it. So don't be offended by this. Be encouraged by it.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, What Shall We Do? The Gospel of Luke, one of the four Gospels that gives us the important details and key events surrounding the birth of Christ and his purpose here on earth. You see, Luke gives us Jesus Christ in a way that prepares us for eternal life. Now here in chapter 3, we find John the Baptist and his ministry arriving on the scene. Now, John the Baptist's ministry was preparing the way for Christ himself, for repentance and the forgiveness of sin. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that John's ministry was to lead the people to simply recognize that they need a Savior, a message of conviction that leads us to the point of redemption. Now in his message called, What Shall We Do?, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Luke's Gospel chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Now in the fifth year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being the governor of Judea, and Herod being the tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Itrea, and the region of Trachonicus, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene. While Ananias and Caiaphas were high priests, the word of God came to John. That's the timing of it all. The son of Zacharias in the wilderness, and he went into all the region of the Jordan. That's the Jordan River Valley, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make his path straight. And every valley shall be filled in, and every mountain and high hill shall be brought low. And the crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Verse 7. Then he said to those in the multitude that came out to be baptized by him, listen to the subtleness of John. Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruit worthy of repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? And he said to them, he who has two tunics, let him give to one who has none. And he who has food, do likewise. Then the tax collectors came to be baptized and said to him, teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than that which is appointed to you. And likewise, the soldiers came to him asking, what shall we do? And so he said to them, do not intimidate anyone or accuse anyone falsely, but be content with your wages. Let's get the technical part out of the way. First of all, Luke anticipates, as you remember the introduction of this book, Luke's occupation was what? Anybody remember? He was a doctor. He was a medical MD. And later on, after his conversion, he became Paul the Apostle's personal traveling MD. And I'm sure Paul was greatly appreciative of that. Luke was a medical doctor, schooled, we understand, in the area of Athens from church history. A brilliant guy, analytical guy, a guy who by very nature would have been more skeptic, which could be the very characteristic that got him into medicine. He wanted to know the why and the how come of things. And so Luke anticipates a doubter being in the audience today. Because Luke's pathology of events in verses 1 and 2 are wonderful. Those of you who do not believe the Bible to be accurate, you need to reassess that thinking. Why? Verses 1 and 2 of Luke chapter 3 are fantastic. Because for 2,000 years, it has been written in the Bible that this was the account or the chronology of the advent of John the Baptist. It wasn't until recent history, When archaeology brought forth the evidence that confirmed everything that is written right here in Luke's Gospel chapter 3. Isn't that exciting to know? All of these names that are listed and the chronology of them are exactly the real true players that existed at the commencement of John the Baptist's ministry. That's what I love, and that's why I love to say that our faith is founded upon fact. What the Bible says, if you just get a shovel and start digging, you will find to be true. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing regarding the Bible. It does not contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. And for those who say, well, you know, there's contradictions in it, those very same people have not yet been able to find one. Which leads me to say this. Why four Gospels? The four Gospels never contradict one another. It is the four Gospels that are an overlay that by the time you come to the end of the Gospel of John, you have a fantastic, insightful look from one observer to the other about key events that held them in particular attention. For example, you have Matthew that reveals Jesus Christ and all of the things concerning his kingship to the nation of Israel. You've got Mark, the shortest gospel, with the greatest record or recording of miraculous works. And Mark records Christ as the servant come from heaven to earth for us. Then you look at Luke's gospel, who is recorded as the Son of Man. Jesus relates to us as the Son of Man. And Luke, of course, the physician, God specially picked to have that revelation given. And then you've got the Gospel of John that exposes Christ to us and to the world in all of his glorious deity, that he's none other than God himself come to earth in human skin. The four aspects and the four angles of the gospel message, all because it's dependable. Now, having said that, we're asking this question, what shall we do? And so I'm going to ask you today to really be strong and to listen carefully to what the challenge goes forth. Remember, what we're reading here is the New Testament. We're hearing about an Old Testament prophet, John, bring the two worlds of the new and the old together and announce Christ to the world. John is the great bridge uniting the two aspects of God's revelation to man. And so beginning now at verse 3, read along or follow along with me. It says here that he went into all the region around the Jordan River Valley, preaching, you ought to mark this, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. That's a mouthful, but it's very, very valuable. John preached a baptism, an immersion, or an identification of repentance. If you are going to repent, John would say, then enter into the waters of baptism. Don't confuse this with the message of salvation. None of these people were experiencing salvation or being born again at this moment. They're simply coming forward regarding the message of this. Church, listen. John's method of preaching and his message is only simply to generate a confession of sin by those who hear. They would hear John speak, and then they themselves would say, ouch! Whoa, what he's saying I know to be true in my life when I look inside. This hurts. What shall I do about it? And John is going to say to them, because you've been convicted, enter into the waters of identification that you recognize you need a Savior. That's all he leads them to. It's not the gospel message received by them. He simply preaches a message of conviction. Now, you know, right now, already in the opening words of this message, I thank God Almighty that you are a people and that this is a church where the gospel can be preached clearly. I said today sin, and I said today repentance. Did you catch it? Did you know that those two words are absolutely, almost nearly forbidden to be spoken in churches across America today? You want to know why? People don't go to churches that mention the word sin. Well, I encourage you to look around here. We kind of have a full house today. Why? Because down deep inside, you're not some sort of a buffoon. You're not some sort of a dummy. You know that God's at work and that God loves you. The Bible says that the God of heaven loves you and that Jesus Christ went to the cross for all of us. We're not offended by that. But you and I live in an age where a lot of people don't want to hear that. You know, the very message about Jesus Christ, I personally believe that this is the big argument about Christmas right now. You can't include Jesus because Jesus makes people feel bad. You can't look at the manger because the manger implies that he came into the world for a reason. And if you think, you got to ask what the reason is. And if you keep thinking, then Jesus also went to the cross. Look, people don't want to talk about the cross because the cross implies that an innocent man died. Died for what? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. He died for us. But if you begin to take it that personal, the question is asked, why did he die? And the answer is because you and I have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You can't have that message out there because that's offensive to people. It's hate speech. And so you've got to remove Jesus from Christmas. I don't know what we're going to call it anymore. But the amazing thing is this. God's love for you announces that Christ has come to set us free. If we receive God's good news, the message, he loves us. My friend, Jesus came to take us to heaven. He wants you there more than you want to go. And he paid the price for it. So don't be offended by this. Be encouraged by it. But listen, a lot of churches will not mention this thing about sin or heaven or hell or all this. In the light of the fact that God loves us. So listen to what the Bible says. And John is speaking. And there's good news in the end if you'll just sit and you'll just listen. He announces this message of repentance for the remission of sins. And verse 4 says, as it is written in the book of the prophet Isaiah, nearly 800 years before John came on the scene, Isaiah said that one would come and this would be the message. And this was John's message. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight, and every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight and the rough valleys smooth, and the flesh or all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Church, are you with me? Everybody with me? Did you hear the end of that prophetic announcement by Isaiah, which John is speaking? Everyone will see the salvation of the Lord. That's good news, you guys. What about this leveling and making straight? What is that all about? What's that mean? When John here begins to preach this message of repentance, every person in the audience of John's knew what he was talking about. Follow along with me if you would. It is a historical fact that during the Roman Empire, when the Roman emperors would visit various dominions that they presided over in their great power of the empire, get a load of this. It almost sounds like today. Whenever a great entourage is going to come, they would, that is the Roman civil engineers, that's where we got it from. The civil engineers would go out onto the lane or the path that the emperor was to come into the city on. They would fill in all of the bumps and all of the dips in the roadway. Don't you wish they would do that in our state? And they would make it all smooth so that the entourage of the emperor would be smooth and would not be restricted or inhibited at all. Are you with me? The motorcade of the emperor would not have any bumps. If there were deep valleys or deep hills, they simply made a new Roman road that was straighter and more comfortable for the emperor to ride on because they had the money. How many of you remember that right here, this region and in all of the LA area, we hosted the 1984 Olympics? Remember that? The only Olympics, by the way, that turned a huge money profit. Remember that? Do you remember the days leading up to the Olympics? I thought it was wonderful. You want to know why? Didn't we get all new resurfaced highways? Remember? Do you guys remember that? Buildings were repainted, banners were hanging, like we're trying to convince the rest of the world it always looks like this here all the time. And everything was done up so nice. The camera angles were specially, you know, put so the world could see how wonderful this place was. Well, you know what? That's exactly what we're talking about here. Make straight the paths was John's announcement. Dan, do you think John was talking about civil engineering? He's given the word of God and he's saying, make straight the road from the throne of God straight into your heart. Make it straight. No curves and no dips and no things that would prevent the king from riding into your heart. The areas that are obstructed and messed up, clear it out. Remove those things from the direction that the king will be coming into your life about and for. And so this is John's message to us today. It precedes the going forth of the good news. Church, listen to me carefully. This is so critical, and it's so often taken advantage of. I cannot, based upon the authority of God and the authority of God's word, I cannot tell you that you should accept Christ today as your Lord and Savior. I can't say that to you. I can't tell you that if you just receive Jesus, you'll be forgiven of all your sins. I cannot say that to you and stand before God. I would be doing you a great injustice, and I would be actually preaching a false gospel. I can't tell you that if you just come to Christ, your life will be filled with happiness. I can't tell you that. I must first give you, as the Bible gives throughout the entire New Testament, I must give you what the first word of the gospel is. It's what John announced. Repent, a baptism of repentance. Stand up, hear the word of God, acknowledge what God says, and then respond by saying, what shall I do about what John is exposing in my life? Oh, Pastor Jack, what do I do? You see, it is the act of repentance that brings us to what I said a moment ago. It's repentance that brings us to salvation. It's repentance that brings us to have a changed mind. It's repentance that brings us to say, oh God, what shall I do to be saved? I cannot say, just come forward and sign up and live happily ever after. That is a false gospel. The Bible says, repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And so we've got millions of people walking around America today thinking that they're Christians, their life has never changed, and they're wondering why not much has gone on in their lives and there's no difference. They go to church on Sunday, but they live like Hades the rest of the week. And they think this is Christianity, like everything else, powerless and ineffectual to change my life. And that's not true. It's the power of the gospel that changes us, people. And the power of the gospel is to metanoia, repent, change your mind and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody wants to hear that today. And yet it's the only way you can get to heaven. We listen to John, and John says these things. It's very, very important to us. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, beginning at verse 7, Jesus said this concerning John. And before I read Matthew 11, 7, when John was given this message, if you read the other Gospels, John, does anybody remember how John is dressed up? You guys, he's wearing camel's hair suit. You say, well, didn't everybody? Answer, no, not for about 500 years. Can you imagine wearing apparel today, 500 years old? Can you imagine dressing up like a, you know, like somebody in London 500 years ago? You know, with the big puffy or poofy shoulders and those just flaky looking leotard things that guys wore with the little tutu thing, and they had a feather in their hat, you know, and they walked around, hear ye, hear ye. I mean, they look kind of nutty, man. Can you imagine? You say, well, nobody dresses like that today. That's exactly what happened when John was given this message. The guy shows up wearing a Tarzan suit of camel's hair turned inside out. Listen, the rough skin was against him and the soft fur or hair, whatever a camel is, it was on the outside. John wore the rough part against his skin to be uncomfortable. And he walked around. Can you imagine? Some people have said, J. Vernon McGee says, it's no wonder why his message was so stern. He wore such uncomfortable clothes. That was a joke that McGee was talking about. But here is John preaching, and people are saying, come on, you've got to see. We've heard about this guy. I mean, he's like a blast from the past, man. Let's go see him. And they go see, and Jesus says in Matthew 11, 17, as Jesus departed, he began to say to the multitude concerning John the Baptist, what did you go out into the wilderness to see back then when you went to see John preach? A reed blown in the wind? What did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft raiments? No. Indeed, those who wear soft clothes can be found in king's palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Oh, yes. I say to you, and more than a prophet. See, John was out there. And he was a Nazirite, remember? He came from the wilderness. He had major, major hair. He looked like a hippie, long beard. And he was preaching this message. And what he was saying convicted the hearts of his hearers. And they knew inside themselves, they were man and woman enough to look inside and to stop playing with themselves and to come to the conclusion, what shall I do? I've got all the things of this life, or I'm losing all the things of this life. What shall I do? That's a great question that only you can ask you. And I must ask myself, when my eyes turn inward and say, in light of these things, what shall I do concerning the sin in my life? And so here's John in this almost costume-looking set, and he's making this great, tremendous announcement. Look at verses 7 through 9. It says, then he said to the multitude that came out to be baptized. Now, pause right there. Don't you think that that's a good thing? Don't you want people to come, John? You guys, you got to understand who John is. Church, answer me if you know. Did God love John? Does God love you? Did God give John what to say? Did God love the people who were coming? Yes, of course. All yes. Okay? All of the affirmative. Then what's going on here? Do you think for a moment, after having read the Bible, that John is some really bad attitude kind of guy? He's got an axe to grind? That he's been living in the wilderness a little too long? Too much locust he's been eating? No. This man's heart is possessed by God. Remember, he was filled with the Holy Spirit from the moment of his birth, or conception, actually, in the womb. Listen to what he says. All these people and crowds have come out. Any preacher, any evangelist would say, all right, great. Look, the newspaper ads worked, you guys. The radio program worked, you guys. Do you think that's real true growth? What came ye out to see? Hey, come on, let's go. Hey, there's this guy in town, let's go. There's this traveling evangelistic show, let's go. What came ye out to see? Jesus would say. Well, listen to what John says. All these people have come out. Hey, come on. Hey, it's John. Wow, cool clothes. Wow, that reminds me of what we've read, you know, about Isaiah and all those old-time guys. Look at his clothes. John opens his mouth, and yikes. He says, listen, I don't know if he learned this in seminary or what. You brood of vipers? Who's warned you to flee from the wrath to come? That's what I call negative church growth tactics. All these people have come out. Don't you think they would have made seats for them, brought them popcorn maybe? Hey, sit down, you know. Give me a little greeter's bag. Welcome to Calvary Chapel. Man, if John showed up right now, can you imagine if he walked in that door right there? We'd probably walk out that door over there. He'd walk up here right now. Remember, this is New Testament. And he'd say, you brood of vipers. And then you begin to wonder, is he talking to me? John would say, you brood of vipers, who's warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Meaning, wrath is coming. Judgment is coming against sin. Who told you to run out of here? Flee for help and come to this river to be baptized, John would say. Who's asked you? Who prompted you to come from wherever you were at in your place of comfort and try to get things right? Wow, John. He uses the word vipers. In the Greek, the word that he used is this. It's very, very graphic. Who warned you, you bunch of little snakes that jump out of the bundle of sticks that are thrown into a fire? That's what the word means. You bunch of little snakes that come squibbling out of the fire, you know, when the sticks are thrown in there? Yikes. John. Well, you know what? In the multitude of those people, there were those who believed and those who didn't believe. There were those who were recreational about it all and those that were dead serious about it. You know, that's always true in a crowd. People. A crowd means nothing. Jesus warns that a crowd could actually be the downfall, could be trouble. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, enter in by the narrow gate. Listen to this. Jesus said, enter in by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many on it. You ever seen the 405 on a Friday? That's the picture. When I read that, I think of that. And when Jesus says there's a broad path, a broad road that people are traveling on, and they don't have a clue of where it's going. Think of a congested freeway. Jesus says that's very common. But those who are heading toward eternal life, it's a very little traveled road. It's very narrow. It's very difficult. He said, because narrow is the gates and difficult is the way that leads to eternal life, and few there be that find it. Wow. You say, Jack, aren't you concerned about saying these things and people not coming back? I am not. And I'll tell you the reason why. Jesus says, when my word is spoken, my sheep who hear me, they're going to respond. You see?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in his message called, What Shall We Do? Thanks for being with us today. What Shall We Do? Is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The Gospel of Luke. A series on the book of Luke, one of the four Gospels of the New Testament, and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, there's something you do not want to miss. Futures Conference is back September 30th through October 1st. This event is sure to help you better understand what the future holds according to the Bible. Speakers include Pastor Jack Hibbs, Amir Tsarfati, Charlie Kirk, and Jeff Kinley. Join us for the free live stream for yourself, or maybe even for your church group. You can do that at jackhibbs.com. One more time, jackhibbs.com.
Real life, hey. Real life, hey.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.